VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we do thank you for joining us on Crosstalk, coming your way from VCY America. And today we want to begin by giving a special welcome to new listeners over KFRH in North Las Vegas. So glad to have you part of our listening family here today as we talk about issues on a daily basis. And ladies and gentlemen, the nominations continue to flow for key cabinet positions and other high-ranking government officials. Of great concern to many is the nomination of Javier Becerra for the position of Secretary of Health and Human Services. Matter of fact, just recently, Minnesota Family Council sent out an email alert recognizing Becerra as one of the most radical presidential nominees in recent memory. Well, here to discuss this nomination, along with other critical issues that we're facing today dealing with COVID and others, we welcome back Twyla Braze, the president and co-founder of Citizens Council for Health Freedom. Twyla is a registered nurse, a certified public health nurse, author of Big Brother in the Exam Room, The Dangerous Truth About Electronic Health Records. She's also the speaker on the daily Health Freedom Minute heard on stations across the country. Twyla, welcome back here to Crosstalk.
Thanks so much, Jim. I'm really glad to be here.
Earlier this month, you sent a letter out to the leadership of the U.S. Senate, specifically to oppose the confirmation of the California Attorney General, Javier Becerra, as the next Secretary of Health and Human Services. But before we talk about some of the specifics, let me begin by asking, how much experience in healthcare does Mr. Becerra have that would qualify him for this position?
Becerra has no experience. He's not a physician. He's never worked in the healthcare industry. So it's, but what he is, and the reason why I think he's in this position is he is the one who defended the Affordable Care Act in front of the U.S. Supreme Court. And I was just looking at his Twitter account, and here's what he said. He said, "In Congress, I helped pass the Affordable Care Act. As California's Attorney General, I defended it. Wow. As Secretary of Health and Human Services, I will build upon our progress and ensure that every American has access." And, of course, he's a single-payer advocate. He's a Medicare for All advocate. And I think that perhaps this is why President Biden has chosen him for this position.
You know, I find it interesting that we're seeing so many of these appointments not based upon experience, but maybe wanting to fill these positions with left-wing radicals. I think of Pete Buttigieg for Secretary of Transportation, and there's others as well, Twyla.
Right, I think that's it. You know, people who I think the Biden administration, it's all filled particularly with Obama veterans of the Obama administration. And so they're bringing in all of these people to push for the next 2 years. You know, when Obama had 2 years with all the Democrats, look what they did. They put in their American Recovery and Reinvestment Act, which was huge and such an amazing amount of money that was taken from taxpayers. And then the Affordable Care Act, you know, for those 2 years, they did all they could to push everything that they could, and they are doing the same for these 2 years.
You indicate that Becerra has, in what you wrote, a disturbing record of exploiting state and federal medical laws to legally persecute the religious and individual liberties of both patients and physicians. Could you break that down for us, Twyla, to give us understanding what you're meaning by that?
Well, you know, at the state level, let's just go for the state level, right? He was supportive of or helped to produce a law that created a new level of speech in California, which they called a professional speech. And this was to try and stop the pro-life clinics, to try and regulate the pro-life clinics in a way that they could not regulate the pro-life clinics, because he wanted to force them to tell anybody who came to their clinics where they could go to get an abortion. So he wanted to force them through creating a new type of speech to do what they're totally opposed to, what their conscience is totally objecting to and to the complete opposite of what the clinic, the pro-life clinic, is for.
Yeah, I mean, this was going so far as to, like, in the waiting rooms of these crisis pregnancy centers, pregnancy care centers, I mean, have these large posters, and I mean, they even described the font of the letters that had to direct women sitting in there to know where they could go get an abortion, along with a phone number where they could call and get an abortion.
Absolutely. Well, and that is, I know people probably think that's kind of odd, but when there are laws around the country that do both, they either, well, usually they just do one. They say that the font has to be huge. And otherwise, the bureaucracies often, when they're required to do something, will make sure that the font is tiny, very tiny.
Yeah, and what's also interesting, I mean, how we specifically went after these pregnancy care centers, whereas the abortionists, they were not required to let people know where they could go save their baby.
Nope.
He's not telling Italian restaurants, here's the phone number if you really want to have Chinese food. I mean, you think about that. But yet he was trying to force this down the throats of pro-life centers throughout the state of California.
Yes, that's correct. You know, and when it comes to the federal laws, right, I mean, he was the one who was really working against the Little Sisters of the
Yes.
Poor, and because of the Affordable Care Act, which said you had to offer abortifacients in your policies, in the health insurance policies, and they're like, no, we're not going to do that. And so, you know, he assisted and fought against that, against the Little Sisters of the Poor, who eventually, it was a very long haul for them. I mean, they eventually won, but it certainly wasn't because he didn't try to keep them from winning.
Right, right. Well, yeah, and they won, but even then he tried to circumvent it. I mean, he wanted to force them to have in their health plans coverage for sterilizations, contraceptives, and even abortion drugs. And they said, no, we're not going to do that. And even though the Supreme Court had ruled, I mean, he tried to sue the federal government to stop the rule.
Right, right. I mean, you know, just think of this person being the head of the largest federal agency in the country with billions and billions at his disposal to try to do what he wants, including with, you know, HHS attorneys to push what he wants, what the Obama administration wants, because he's a friend of the Obama administration. And as I said, there's lots of veterans in there, and certainly what the Biden administration wants to do. So this is an onslaught against freedom of speech, freedom of conscience, you know, freedom in general.
It seems like this is so a part of his makeup. I mean, he is also the one who has revived these felony charges against David DeLayden and others,
yes,
these pro-life citizen journalists who were exposing what Planned Parenthood was doing in the harvesting and sale of baby body parts. He's one of the key people behind the prosecution going on there.
Right. I think it's hard to say high enough exactly how radical this nomination is. And so for the Senate to confirm him is for the Senate to say that they want a radical direction for health care in this country. They absolutely want single payer. They absolutely want pro-abortion policies. They don't want pro-life. They don't want pro-speech. They don't want truth. And their ethics are not the ethics of, well, they aren't ethics.
Right, right.
They aren't ethics.
And he very much being a proponent then of socialized medicine?
Absolutely, and Medicare for all. And so that's where, you know, in the tweet that I read to you where he said, you know, he's going to make sure, he's going to ensure that every American has access to quality, affordable health care through this pandemic and beyond. So his plan is to do all that is possible in his position to bring a universal, socialized, government-run, government-controlled healthcare system to this country where the doctors work for the government, the hospitals work for the government, the health plans may or may not be around. The Democrats are of a dual mind on that. Some of them think that they need the health plans to run it, and others say, no, no, we'll just have the government run it. We'll have regional directors. You know, this is really where they want to go. Your doctor won't work for you. It'll work for the government. It'll be like Canada, but the Canadians won't be able to come to America anymore to get the care that they need. Plus, all sorts of illegals will have access to care, all paid for by taxpayers. And let's not forget that. A national health care system is paid for by taxpayers, but is often inaccessible for the care that you need. And this is where Becerra wants, this is where he wants to take the health care system in this country.
Twyla Bray is with us today, president and co-founder of Citizens Council for Health Freedom. And Twyla, I just want to point out one other aspect. As much as we have seen him just go after the conscience protection aspects for on the abortion issue, we could also expect the same thing, that he would force upon physicians to participate in gender reassignment surgeries, even prescribe harmful therapy or drugs, hormone blocking drugs for youth, etc. I mean, that is very much a realistic picture here as well.
Yeah. So just as a reminder to your listeners, back in I think it was maybe 2009, and it was certainly part of the Affordable Care Act, but the Obama administration took it actually well beyond what the Affordable Care Act even said, and forcing, and they put out a regulation that was beyond title, let me just think, what is it now, Title IX, Title X, I forget which of the titles. Anyway, it went beyond what is required in federal law, and they made their own words and definitions for sex discrimination and other words like that. And essentially, the regulation would have forced doctors to participate in these kind of surgeries, participate in or agree to prescribe what people want that will, you know, either mutilate their body or change their body from the kind of body that they have. And so when you look at what's her name, Dr. Rachel Levine, which is another nomination that's up, and this one, you know that this is where they would take it, that the doctors would be faced with this. They would be faced with the law saying they have to do things against their conscience. And at the end of the day, this is good for your listeners to know who think this may not pertain to them at all. But it will, because there's all sorts of doctors who are going to refuse to be doctors anymore. So they'll refuse to be it for all the 3,000 patients that are on their roster. And there'll be fewer and fewer physicians for every American, because there's a whole bunch of doctors who are not going to agree to do this. And if they're forced into it by the Biden administration, by Becerra, by lawsuits, you know, by being taken to court for being discriminatory and for not obliging patient rights as these are being defined, right? Then there'll be a whole bunch of doctors that will leave.
Yes. Twyla, to me, this appointment is far more about politics than it is public health. Do we know when this nomination is going to be voted on by the Senate?
Well, it's interesting. Last week, we heard it was probably going to be tonight. But I have scoured the news, and I find nothing of the sort. And so it could be that it took a little bit of time for them to, or it's still taking time for them to figure out whether or not they have the votes. However, the news says they have Collins and Manchin, and so that should seal it up for them.
Tell you what, we're going to take a quick break. Folks, when we come back, we will provide you a phone number to the Senate switchboard where your voice can be heard, because it's your senators that will be casting a vote on the nomination of Attorney General Becerra to be the Secretary of Health and Human Services. We'll have that and COVID issues after the break. This is Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, did the Ice Age really happen?
Yes, indeed, Chris. There's a great deal of evidence that the Ice Age really happened. It wasn't long ago. It was at the end of Noah's flood. It probably took several hundred years for the Earth to settle back down into the equilibrium we now experience. That readjustment period was primarily the Ice Age. The real key for the Ice Age is more evaporation from the ocean waters, making huge storms of snowfall possible. But the continents were cold, making the storms violent and prolonged. Also, late in the flood was a time of great volcanism, meaning that the Earth's atmosphere was cloudy and shielded the Earth from the sun. So there was more snowfall, less snow melt, and the ice built up. This would have happened in the centuries following the flood. And that's the flood mentioned back in Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
We'll be right back.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Twyla Braze is our guest today, president and co-founder of Citizens Council for Health Freedom. Their website, cchfreedom.org, cchfreedom.org. As we mentioned, it is anticipated that this week, potentially as early as tonight, that this vote could be taken by the U.S. Senate on this nomination. And if you would like to reach out to your senators, regardless if there's a D or an R behind their name, the Senate switchboard number is 202-224-3121. That's 202-224-3121. Now, Twyla, you mentioned, just as that break was coming upon us, that, well, it was last Thursday, that the West Virginia Senator Joe Manchin, he claims to be pro-life, but he said he would vote to confirm Becerra, saying that, well, Becerra has promised to, quote, uphold the law when it comes to the Hyde Amendment. How can one really say that they're going to take him at his word when we know what the MO is for Becerra on these very issues?
I don't think that you can, right? Once a person gets in that position, Congress has no control over them. All you have to do is watch Congress when they interview the head of an organization and they ask questions. It's like they have no command whatsoever of that individual. So they can ask questions, they can point out things, they can do all sorts of things, but they have no control. This is their control. Right now is their control. And if you put somebody this radical in that position, you have given up your control. So I just wonder, was Joe Manchin, you know, given something so that he said yes? That's always what I wonder.
Well, again, we've got a folk living or listening in West Virginia right now, and you can contact even your senator, Joe Manchin, in West Virginia at 202-224-3954. That's 202-224-3954. We'll take you to Manchin's phone number. And you can let your views be heard directly by his office as well. For any of the senators, if you want their direct dial numbers and their district numbers, you'll find them at Senate.gov, Senate.gov. But that nomination could come up at any time. Twyla, there's so many things going on pertaining to health care and things that you're monitoring at Citizens Council for Health Freedom. And this nomination here is a very critical one. And I know you're very concerned about the direction health care will go with this matter here. But I know that there's also concern as to what's happening with COVID right now. I saw just a story here recently. Here we have a Stanford University professor, Dr. Jay Bhattacharya, and he is slamming the COVID-19 lockdowns as what he's calling the biggest public health mistake we've ever made, saying that the harm to people is catastrophic. What's your perspective on that?
Well, he is absolutely correct, and he is one of the three, I believe, who started the Barrington Declaration, which has been signed by more than 3,200 healthcare professionals and scientists, and then a whole bunch of other regular Americans. You know, this is a disaster in ways that aren't even being counted, right? So they're counting the deaths, and even the deaths is a suspect number because they call deaths a COVID death if you just happen to have COVID and you died of something else. There's much of that is happening around the country. So they count that, but they aren't counting the deaths of people who have died at their homes because they were too scared to go to the doctor's office. They aren't counting, you know, the four-time increase in young Americans who have decided to or who are thinking about suicide, but also who are suiciding. So there are all sorts of costs, the financial costs, right? You can't, as I can't remember who exactly said this. It might have been Scott Atlas. I'm not sure. But you can't not look at the economic costs when you're thinking about public health. Public health isn't just sitting out there as its own thing. You know, there's all sorts of people who are having problems, you know, paying their rent, keeping their homes. They've lost their jobs. They've lost their businesses. This is huge. They used to say, you know, everything counts in public health, but it's like they're ignoring everything except the COVID virus itself.
Twyla, you know, I'm looking right now even at the CDC, and they indicate, because I just put in a search engine, you know, how many flu deaths have there been? Because we're not hearing anything about the flu, and they have a little statement here that says a seasonal influenza activity in the U.S. remains lower than usual for this time of year. But they give a spot there where you can check the COVID tracker as to what's going on with it. Whatever happened to the flu?
Well, there are different ideas of what happened to the flu. What I do know is that COVID is its own illness. It's really not the flu. So some people just think it's the flu, but it's really not true. And doctors are truly mystified when they get somebody with COVID because of the unusual things that happen in the body with COVID. So it's not like COVID cases are flu cases. Now, some of them might be flu cases because of the PCR test having so many false negatives. So many people are being diagnosed with COVID who are not COVID. But the other thing is people are just keeping away from each other, right? They're gone from each other. Viruses need to have, you know, a way to get from one person to the next. And with people having so much separation and being careful about so many things, like touching, that's probably one of the reasons why we just don't have it like we had it before.
You came across a study in the month of December as it relates to COVID. Tell us about it.
So, yes, at the end of December, this study came out, and I think it's important for people to realize how difficult it is to catch COVID. And so it was a fascinating study. If you are somebody who does not have COVID and you are worried, you have 3.8% chance of catching COVID from someone who has it but currently has no symptoms. 3.8%. And that's only if you are a close contact. So that means you sit around and watch a movie together and share a meal, you know, it's families, it's friends, all that sort of thing. Close contacts. There's 12.8% chance of getting COVID from a close contact who has symptoms. And there's only 21.1% chance of getting COVID from someone who has it in your own house. So there's almost 80% chance of not getting COVID when you live together with someone who has COVID. Hmm. It's really kind of difficult to get.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting now, too, they're talking about revising the 6-foot separation rule down to 3 feet.
Yes. Well, I think what's good for everybody to remember is what Fauci is in trouble for at this moment.
Tell us about
it. He's in trouble because he said to CNN when they asked, you know, what's the science behind not saying it's safe for people who have been vaccinated who received 2 doses to travel? What's the science? And he said, well, they want to get science, they want to get data, and then when you don't have the data and you don't have the actual evidence, you've got to make a judgment call. And I think that's what you're going to be seeing in the next few weeks. So there's a whole lot of judgment calls happening here. No science, no data. They keep telling us we're following the science, we're following the data. They're not following the science. They're not following the data. They're following their own protocols, their own agendas. This whole thing of keeping us locked down. Fauci just said, he was just in the news for saying there's going to be a terrible return of cases and deaths if all these states let up. But the fact of the matter is states are letting up and the cases and the deaths keep going down. And mind you, a lot of those aren't real cases and a lot of those aren't real COVID deaths. But nonetheless, they're going down, 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 and down.
Twyla, there's a number of people, and we were hearing, you know, countries that are shutting down certain vaccines like AstraZeneca and others because of the blood clotting, number of blood clotting cases that are coming about. People watch some of these, and all of a sudden, you know, you see a news report where somebody had just received the vaccine a couple days ago. They're healthy people. All of a sudden, death has come their way or something has transpired there. Here there was a champion boxer that just had the COVID vaccine that whose life ended, etc. But yet you go to the CDC website and you say there's no connection there whatsoever. Can we be that dogmatic, saying that there is no connection whatsoever?
I think we can't be that dogmatic. And even Pfizer in their own material says until they have been approved by the appropriate regulatory authority, they cannot guarantee safety or efficacy. So they don't guarantee safety for anyone. And, of course, none of the vaccines actually have FDA approval. They don't have approval. They have emergency use authorization, which is not approval.
Can you, and Twyla, please, I want you to address this again, because there is a vast difference between an approved drug that's gone through all the rigors and tests and everything, and as compared to the emergency use authorization. So highlight the difference between those two.
So a typical approval process takes probably about 5 to 10 years, depending on what it is that you're trying to get approved. Stage one, stage two, stage three, they are all separate. I'm sorry, phase one, phase two, and phase three, they're all separate phases, and they take a certain length of time. Phase two all by itself takes at least 15 months. We haven't even been 15 months since this whole thing began. And so, and there's also animal testing, which hasn't been happening. And so all of this, you know, they have to go through the FDA. They have to follow, everything's got to be looked at. It's got to be, questions are asked. Sometimes they have to go back and do this or go back and do that. That's why it can take such a long time. Emergency use authorization, they did phase one, two, and three basically all at the same time, and rushed this thing out, and the government said, okay, well, it seems to be okay, and, you know, off we go. But they have no long-term, there's no idea what the long-term effects are. There's no idea how it impacts pregnant women or their preborn babies. There's a lot of things that people don't know. And again, this is a brand-new type of vaccine, the Pfizer and Moderna, which are messenger RNA. And the chief medical officer of Moderna, a TED Talk has come out from 2017 where he talked about messenger RNA, and he said that it is, what can I think of the exact words now? Essentially, they're getting into the stuff of life, right? They're going into the code, and he looks at this all as part of the code, as a human body, as an operating machine, just like the computer. And it's the RNA, the messenger RNA, coming in and replacing part of the code. And so, you know, this is real stuff that's happening, and there are nobody has any idea what the long-term effects are. And right now, a man from the Netherlands who is a virologist who used to work for the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation just put out a global call to the World Health Organization and any other authorities to stop the mass vaccination program, because he's concerned that what's happening here is going to be very, very harmful to humans. I can't remember exactly the term that he uses, but it's like a viral escape. He's concerned about it being given to all of these people in the midst of a pandemic, the entire populations of the world. And he's a virologist.
Wow, and he's given such a warning?
He did. His name is Geert, G-E-E-R-T, Van Dan Bosch, B-O-S-C-H.
My.
I think.
We're going to take a quick break. Twyla Bray is our guest here today. Their website, cchfreedom.org, that's Citizens Council for Health Freedom. And folks, I'm also going to be bringing up here this tracking app, COVID tracking app, that is being forced upon young people going back to Los Angeles schools. But I'm confident it's not just there. We'll be back in a minute. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America.
How can three persons be one God? Does the Bible support slavery? Is homosexuality acceptable to God? Is it okay for Christians to get hypnotized? Is suicide an unforgivable sin? How can I talk to a Muslim about Jesus? Why was Abel's offering accepted by God when Cain's was rejected? Hundreds of questions just like these are addressed in The Big Book of Bible Answers by respected Bible scholar Ron Rhodes. Consisting of over 400 pages, Ron addresses some of the most common questions about the Bible, about God, Jesus, humanity, salvation, angels and demons, prophecy, the afterlife, ethics, and apologetic issues with clear, concise answers. The Big Book of Bible Answers is available from VCY for a donation of just $17 or more. Simply request it with your donation when you call 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America, and again, our special welcome to those listening over KFRH in North Las Vegas. Good to have you with us here for the program today. And Twyla Brace is with us, Citizens Council for Health Freedom. Twyla, I'm looking at your website right now, and I see there's this blue box that says subscribe to receive health freedom information. Tell us about it.
Yes, it's at the very top of our homepage, cchfreedom.org, cchfreedom.org. And all you have to do is click on there, fill in the information, and we will send you our weekly e-news, which has alerts at a national level, as well as news that we think that you should know that likely aren't being talked about, or at least give you our perspective on that news.
cchfreedom.org, and folks, you just put in your email address, and every week you'll get that update as to matters that are going on so many different issues, and most likely not news you're going to get from your nightly news. That's cchfreedom.org, and you'll see the box there to subscribe to receive health freedom information. Twyla, as we were talking about vaccinations going forth and now a concern from a leading virologist pertaining to this, there is also some concern over the latest guidance that have been given for vaccinated individuals. What stands out in your mind regarding that latest guidance?
So it's a guidance that is for the vaccinated, and I consider this to be sort of part of the push to persuade people to get vaccinated so they're in the privileged, the group of the privileged. But there's a, so this guidance tells the vaccinated who they can socialize with without mask or social distancing. And so it's even got a diagram with different households and dots of different colors in these households. But in the middle of this guidance, it says this under a title called Recommendations for Visiting with Others in Private Settings. It says that the visits are likely to present a minimal risk to fully vaccinated people. And then it says, though the risk of disease may be minimal to the fully vaccinated person themselves, they should be mindful of their potential risk of transmitting the virus to others if they become infected, especially if they are visiting with unvaccinated people at increased risk. So here is an admission from the CDC that the vaccinated can get COVID-19 and possibly spread it to the unvaccinated. And the interesting thing about this guidance is that it says that the vaccinated can decide who are low-risk unvaccinated, and then they can invite them to their home or go into their home without masks or social distancing. So this is like telling the vaccinated that they have superpowers to figure out who the low-risk unvaccinated are. It also gives them permission, essentially, to transmit, you know, to put them at risk, because it says you might give them COVID. So it's like the first time that the CDC has said, oh, it's okay. It's okay. You can have this risk of giving this to others, you know, just be aware of it, but feel free to socialize without masks or social distancing. So what this really says is how much are they and have they been really concerned about stopping the spread, or is this just a way to keep us all, you know, locked down? I think it's interesting that they suddenly open up the door to infecting others between the vaccinated and unvaccinated.
A report came out last week about these COVID tracking apps, and I saw it specifically here for every child in the Los Angeles School District that's going to be required to have a COVID tracking app that's going to be scanned daily before they can enter the classroom. They'll use a barcode to coordinate health checks, COVID tests, vaccinations, and then we understand, according to the Children's Health Defense, that this daily pass would generate this unique QR code each day for each child and every staff member that authorizes entry to a specific school location. Does that concern you, Twyla?
Well, it's wrong on so many aspects. So it's wrong because this is training children that they need to have a government, that the government can tell them that they have to do this kind of thing in order to live regular life, that they have to check in with the government, that the health, that the government can know their health situation, that the government is going to track it. This is training them that it's okay. So that's one bad thing. Another thing is it's just wrong from a privacy perspective. It's wrong from a Fourth Amendment perspective about what the government can do with or without your consent. And then just the fact that children are not known to be infectious or vectors of infection. So they're not the ones who are tending to spread this to anyone. And so to me, this is more like an education for these young people as they grow up to think that it's okay for the government to do this kind of thing when it's not okay at all.
Hmm. Let's open some phone lines here today. Folks, no doubt you've got some questions as it pertains or comments either to the Becerra nomination or to our topic here dealing with COVID-related issues. Our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. That's 1-800-733-9829. We're talking today with Twyla Braze. She is a president and co-founder of Citizens Council for Health Freedom. She's a registered nurse. She's a certified public health nurse. She has testified before many governmental bodies on issues, and certainly we'll take your calls, your questions today, brief comments here at Crosstalk 800-733-9829. Her website, cchfreedom.org, that's cchfreedom.org. And you're able to sign up for their e-news and get regular updates of matters that are going on there. Again, our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. Taking your calls here today on Crosstalk about the Becerra nomination, as that is coming up for a vote any time now, as well as issues, some of the recent issues pertaining to COVID as well. So taking your calls here at Crosstalk, and we welcome your calls here this afternoon. Twyla, are you concerned by the information coming from Fauci as it relates to this? It seems that we are constantly getting contradictory information.
Well, I think Fauci is not a trusted individual, because he's really has turned out to be much more of a doomsayer, right? Everything is always going to be wrong. It's always going to be difficult. It's always going to be worse. That said, there are a few times where you can find him telling the truth. For instance, that this is not a vaccine, that the COVID-19 vaccine is not a vaccine because it is meant to only reduce symptoms. It's not meant to be a vaccine. And so although they're not calling it not a vaccine, the pure fact that he actually has told people publicly in very public venues that this is only meant to stop clinically recognizable disease. So that means symptoms. That's all it's meant to do.
My.
It's not a vaccine.
Let's go to Monica in Menominee Falls, Wisconsin. Monica, you're on the air.
Yes, my question is my mother-in-law, she's waiting for the Johnson & Johnson shot, and I'm wondering what kind of concerns should we have with that?
Go ahead, Twyla. I believe this is the vaccination that has used the aborted fetal cells in its development, correct?
I believe that is true. That is what I have heard as well.
Mm-hmm.
And for people who are worried about, you know, genetically modified, there are also, it has used genetically modified, either liver or kidney cells as part of the process as well. It's one shot, but it also is not a real vaccine. Again, its efficacy is only about minimizing symptoms. And so, and again, we don't have any long-term effects. There's because none of them have actually been approved by the FDA. And so, not that I always agree with FDA approval or not, but what it really shows is how little time has gone into the preparation and how little time has gone into the evaluation.
But it's like, is it different than the Pfizer and the Moderna regarding
it's different.
Attacking? Like, can it attack your body like RNA one?
Right. So it does not have messenger RNA. It uses adenovirus, an adenovirus, which is essentially a harmless virus. And so that gets taken into the cells instead. And so it's not messenger RNA, so it doesn't have the same mechanism as it. I will say that I'm not a geneticist, and I think that's important to say. In looking at all of this and trying to figure it out and who's telling the truth and who isn't and what it means, listening to the chief medical officer of Moderna is what everybody should do. They should all listen to his TED Talk because of how he describes it. Johnson & Johnson does not have the same mechanism, but I would not be here to say whether it's safe or not because, again, it has not had any long evaluation, and we don't know the long-term side effects.
Monica, thanks for the call. And I would suggest that people interested, especially as it relates to aborted fetal cells and how some have been utilized in the testing and or in the production of, that the website cogforlife.org. They have a button right at the top, COVID-19 Vaccine Info. That's COG, stands for Children of God for Life, COG for Life, F-O-R, life.org. You'll find that information. Thank you for the call. Let's go next to Carol in Minnesota. You're on the air, Carol.
Hi, yes. I'm calling because I would like you to please spell the doctor's name from the Netherlands. I didn't get the spelling.
Okay.
That's the Bhattacharya?
No.
Or the other one.
It is the other one. It is, so I'm not looking at it, but I'm going to be very close, and you will get it if you put this in. G-E-E-R-T.
Geert. Mm-hmm.
Vandan. V-A-N-D-A-N. Bosch. B-O-S-S-C-H-E. I believe that might be actually accurate, but in case it's not, put in letter to World Health Organization. And between the two of those, you should find them.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Thank you so much.
I did a search, and I believe you got that right, Twyla.
Wonderful.
Okay.
Great. Thank you for the call.
You're welcome.
Let's go next to Greg in Ohio. Greg, you're on the air, Cincinnati.
Yes, sir. Brother Jim and Twyla Brice. I would like to know, how in the world can someone who's totally blind physically distance? That's crazy. And besides that, if I were to take the first shot, let alone second shot, and you just said that Center for Disease Control is going to tell people how people can't be with people who haven't been vaccinated and all this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. How in the world is somebody totally blind going to know when somebody's vaccinated when they haven't been vaccinated? Because I'm not going to be able to feel people.
Well, so this is one of the quandaries. Is as I said, it's like the CDC decided that the vaccinated have superpowers. But actually what it means is that there's either going to just have to be that the vaccinated know something about the unvaccinated or that the vaccinated do a Q&A, question and answer time, with the unvaccinated. But even then, there are conditions like obesity. Obesity is an underlying condition, but it's not really underlying. It's obvious, right? So that one you'd be able to know, but other conditions that people themselves don't even know about that make them more susceptible, how will anybody know that?
Thank you, Greg. We're up against a break. Twyla Braze, our guest here today, cchfreedom.org, their website. We'll take more of your calls following the break. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website, worldviewreport.com. Have you read the 10 Planks of the Communist Manifesto lately? I would challenge all of you to go to a search engine and put in, right now, the 10 Planks of the Communist Manifesto. You don't need to read the whole manifesto. You just need to read the 10 Planks. Look how many of them have come to pass in America. One of them is the desire of the communists to get control of all food production and agriculture. My friends, we now see the largest owner of farmland in America is reported to be not only Bill Gates, but Ted Turner and China, among others. And now we have the Rockefeller Report, the Rockefeller Foundation, putting out a report on taking over America's food system. They want to make food an issue of racial equality. They want to make it a right to eat all the foods that anyone else eats. My friends, they want to take over the food and agriculture. This comes right out of the Communist Manifesto.
We're going right back to the phone lines here today on Crosstalk. Our next caller is Gloria calling from Minnesota. Hi, Gloria. You're on the air with Twyla Braze.
Hello, and thank you for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I just finished listening to A Shot in the Dark by Dr. Jen Penny, and she said very much the same thing as your guest has said. It's not FDA approved. They don't tell us that. And if you have taken one of the shots, and you decide now, because of what you're hearing, not to take the other one, are you still in trouble? The shot was the Moderna.
Okay. What if only...
Well, I don't...
Yeah, go ahead.
I don't really know how to answer the question about are you still in trouble. You know, my guess is that a lot of people may not experience any side effects, but I think that we don't know. And so, you know, I don't even know the answer to that. We aren't going to know for a long time whether or not this has caused us a major problem because it's messenger RNA or whether, you know, it's not going to be a problem.
Mm-hmm.
You have to make your own decision of what you're going to do there.
You're not contingent on taking it. If you decide not to, you can.
You
need to do whatever you choose to do.
You choose to do. And they cannot make you take one. At this time, we're not being told you.
That's correct.
Thank you, Gloria. And we do have people saying my employer is telling us we have to or look for other employment. That's another issue there, Twyla, as well.
Yes, and so there have been lawsuits already from people who have lost their job because they refuse to take this and employer says that you have to. But again, and just FYI, I'm going to my next video. So I'm doing a whole series on COVID-19 videos, and the next one is what to say to employers who want to force you to take the vaccine and all the rationale that you can use against it. And the biggest part of the rationale is that it's not approved. It's not approved by the FDA. This is a global experiment that is happening here. It's gotten approval from nowhere, and it's a brand new thing. Messenger RNA. We have no idea how this will work. And so this really is a global experiment, and nobody should be forced into an experimental drug.
Okay, and that video will be posted to your website?
It will. It's Facebook Live sometime this week, probably at the end of the week.
Okay.
But it will be posted to the website.
Let's see. Al is calling from Bridgeport, West Virginia. Al, you're on the air.
Thank you, Brother Jim. And, hey, thank you so much, Sister Twyla. I look forward to every morning listening to you on your little spot that you do. And it's very eye-opening every day. Appreciate that. And my question was, my 86-year-old mother just got her second shot. And the only reason, the biggest reason that my brothers and sisters and I decided that it was okay was, for the last 20-some years, she's been getting a flu shot, so I thought maybe she'd be okay with getting this air-quoted vaccine. But she seems to be doing fine with her second shot. So I'm thankful for that. But I was just wondering, do you think it has anything to do with her getting that flu shot all these years, and maybe that was why she hadn't had any reaction?
Thank you, Al.
I don't know that the two of them have anything to do with each other. I will say, in looking at the CDC's definition of a vaccine is to cause immunity. And immunity means you do not get a disease. It's not that you don't get you don't get a milder version. You don't get it at all. And like tetanus, right? You get a tetanus vaccine, you don't get tetanus. It's not like you get mild lockjaw. You don't get it at all. Mm-hmm. So the flu vaccine is not a vaccine either. And so, you know, it's sort of been a misnomer. So the entire public thinks that this is vaccination when it's not vaccination. It's just a medication. It's just a type of drug to help reduce symptoms if you get it. And the flu, they have no idea what they're actually doing with the flu. They make a guess of what'll be the next year. I don't know that they have anything to do with each other, and hopefully your mom will be just perfectly fine. This all remains to be seen. you know, as we go into the future.
Thank you, Al. Veronica is next in Pensacola, Florida. You're on the air.
I just want to know, over this is going on for years between China and Russia. We're doing the same thing as what they're trying to do with us. And I have to ask you, I'd like to know her name, Twyla Brace.
Braze, that's B-R-A-S-E.
Like Brace, okay. And the other guy's name, the paralysis?
Who? We're not sure who you're meaning.
Biologist, she was talking about the biologist, Van Dam something.
We've given that a couple times already. That's Gert Vander. The last name again is
Bosch.
Thank you. Alan in Las Cruces, New Mexico, you're on the air.
Oh, hi there. My question is this. I've seen some commercials on TV lately about a HIV drug that suppresses the symptoms all the way down to nothing, and then you're no longer infectious. Is this the vaccines? Are they like that HIV drug that's out there now?
So this is not something that I am very well aware of. I do know that they've been trying for 36 years to get an HIV vaccine, which again means that you don't actually get the virus. You don't actually get it. So they're just continuing to work on drugs that minimize the symptoms and make life easier to live for those who have HIV. Until they have something that actually stops you from getting the virus, they don't have a vaccine.
Alan, thank you for calling. We're going to squeeze one last call in from Richland Center, Wisconsin. Deb, you're on the air.
Okay, I was just wondering if she might be able to touch base on those that are pregnant and get the injection, and also if she knows anything about the kind that's coming from Israel.
Okay, we've got 50 seconds, Twyla.
So I'm not certain about the kind coming from Israel, but I can tell you about the pregnancy. So they never tested it on people who are pregnant, and they're looking. Essentially, this is clinical trials until 2023. So everybody that is engaged in getting the vaccine is part of the clinical trial. And so they are keeping tabs on women who are pregnant to see what the impact is. They do not know, and they never tested for that in the trials.
Yet, isn't there the persona that this is safe?
There is. That's generally everything that they have said, although you can see that there are these mysterious deaths happening, which they claim not to have anything to do with the virus, but they're healthy people that were healthy, no underlying conditions, and then suddenly they die. And this will come out in the future, if nothing else. People need to watch this.
Thank you, Deb, for your call. We are out of time on the program today. Twyla Braze with us from the Citizens Council for Health Freedom, cchfreedom.org, cchfreedom.org. Twyla, thanks so much for joining us here this afternoon.
Thank you, Jim. I enjoyed it.
And friends, don't forget about the Becerra nomination. You can reach out to your senators at 202-224-3121. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.